Heavenly Father, we are thankful for tonight and for the opportunity you have given us to be able to study your divine word of truth. We thank the Lord for tonight for the opportunity to host this nationwide gospel meeting. We are privileged tonight to have Brother Williams declaring to us a subject about who goes to heaven. We pray, Lord, that in the lesson that he teaches us tonight, that he preached those precepts that we can read about in Scripture. Pray, Lord, that in conveying these facts that are God-breathed, that are your holy and divine word, Lord, that those listening can understand what is required of us to be saved, but to also be able to go to heaven. Heavenly Father, we pray that there is someone listening who has a desire to want to spend eternity with you. Heavenly Father, we ask this prayer in Son Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We're very thankful tonight to have each and every person on tonight, especially those who are not members of the Church of Christ. I'm Brother Tommy Brooks, the host minister of this nationwide gospel meeting call. We're so thankful to have each and every person on tonight, especially those who are not members of the Church of Christ. You're a VIP of our audience, and we thank you so very much for being on. We ask you now to open your Bibles up and pay attention to our speaker tonight. Our speaker is the person of Robert Williams. Robert Williams has been one of our, what we call our repeat defenders. Brother Robert Williams serves as an elder for the Parkway Village congregation there in Memphis, Tennessee, and he's also one of the ministers. He's been preaching for 34 years. Tonight, he will talk to us. You know, our theme this month has been forever, O Lord, that word has been settled in heaven. Psalm 118 and verse 89. And God's word has settled his mouth. This week, we're talking about the matter about who go to heaven, the matter about who go to hell, the matter about the one church, the matter about the blood of Christ, and the matter about the Christ, the Savior. Tonight, Brother Robert Williams. Brother Robert, tell us about it. Has God settled this matter about who go to heaven? Help us to understand that, because I want to go to heaven.
Thank you, Brother Brooks, and the staff for having me on the program. It's certainly good to be with you tonight. Tonight, we want to talk about a place that every Christian wants to go. In fact, it is a place that I wish every human being would want to go. When we consider all the people who have come and gone since the beginning of time, it should cause us all to wonder, where did they go? Where are they now? What is the fate of all after this life has ended? You know, we all have an expiration date. The Bible has the answer. In fact, God always has the answer before man knows the question. Today, we're going to consider for our theme Psalm 119 and verse 89, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." What a thought-provoking and profound statement that the psalmist made in the long ago. God has not left it up to man to decide what is sin and what is not sin. Man does not have the choice of how to worship, when to worship, or where to worship. Man does not decide who goes to heaven. That has already been settled in heaven. Jesus echoed the same thought in Mark chapter 13 and verse 31. Jesus said it this way, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." Yet God's word never changes. Jesus Christ came to this earth to show us the way to heaven. In Luke 19 and verse 10, Jesus said, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost." When Jesus was on this earth, he had a constant sense of life beyond, both for the saint and for the sinner. In dealing with the hereinafter, Jesus appealed to the hope of heaven and the fear of hell. In Mark chapter 10 and verse 29, Jesus said, "Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my sake and the gospel's. But he shall receive an hundredfold now in this time, houses, and brethren, and sisters, and mothers, and children, and lands with persecution, and here goes the big reward, and in the world to come, eternal life." There's nothing that we will give up for God in this world in which he will not give us something better. Now, sure, we're not going to receive new biological family members, but when we become a member of the family of God, then we have those relationships multiplied time and time again through our relationships with one another. Both heaven and hell were real to Jesus. Jesus said, "And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal." Matthew 25 and verse 46. Jesus was pointing out here that hell is going to last as long as heaven. And heaven is eternal, and eternal punishment is going to be eternal. When Jesus spoke of heaven, he often spoke about the blessedness of the redeemed and the unhappy fate of those who die lost. Consider Revelation 14 and verse 13. "And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, said the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them." That, yes, when one is a true believer, when one has had his sins washed away, it is a blessing to die a faithful Christian. The worst thing that could happen to anyone is to die in sin. Jesus taught that this world is not all there is to life. You may remember at the resurrection of Lazarus, when he was questioned about why it took him so long to get there, Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this?" Yes, Jesus gives us eternal life, and death is only a transition from time to eternity. But the question that we want to answer tonight is, who can go to heaven? Who can go to heaven, or who will go to heaven? In Matthew chapter 7:21, Jesus fast forwards us to the judgment scene. At the very last day, he gives us a preview of what is going to be said and what is going to take place. And he said in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of God, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven." The point that I'm making is that some are going to make it, according to this passage, and some are not going to make it when it comes to going to heaven. And we're going to tonight try to help you see that if you want to go to heaven, what you have to do, and what the Bible says you have to do in particular. So today we're going to look at some passages, first of all, that's going to teach that heaven is a real place. If one is going to go to heaven, he first has to believe that there is a heaven. In the book of John, chapter 14:1-5, a familiar passage with most of us Bible students, when Jesus was speaking to his disciples before his crucifixion and resurrection, Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled." They were sad because Jesus was telling them about what was going to shortly take place, the crucifixion and the suffering that was going to he was going to endure. He said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, just as sure as you believe in God, believe in me." Jesus is trying to convince them that in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. So Jesus was letting them know that I'm telling you about a place that I used to be. I'm telling you about a home in which I'm familiar. That is my Father's house. And he said, "Just as sure as you believe God, believe me that my Father has a house that I'm going to. And in that house, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And I'm going to come back and receive you where I am. You may be also." So to Jesus, heaven was no pie in the sky idea, but heaven is a real place. When Jesus taught about heaven, he spoke as one who had been there, who had come to this earth to bring immortality and light through his gospel. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 10. In the book of John 17:4-5, we can see that Jesus longed to go home to be with his Father when he was on this earth. He said, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gave me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Yes, heaven is a real place. Jesus came from heaven, came to this earth, lived as a man, suffered and hung, bled and died on Calvary, that our sins may be taken away so that we could go back home with him. Philippians 2, 5 through 10. So we should not think of the other side of death as an undiscovered country from which no traveler has returned. Jesus came from heaven to put away our sins. He died and he was buried and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures, proclaiming that all power has been given unto me in heaven and in earth. Matthew 28, 18. And in Revelation 1 in verse 18, John wrote, and I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. Yes, Jesus died, but he got up of his own power, and he has ascended into heaven. Jesus often contrasted this world with the world to come. In Matthew 6, 19, you may remember in that great sermon on the mount, the greatest sermon ever preached by the greatest preacher the world has ever known. Jesus said, lay not up for yourselves treasures on this earth, this temporal earth, but rather lay up where moth and rust does corrupt and where thieves break through and steal, but rather lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not corrupt and where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So Jesus was contrasting this temple world with the spiritual world, the eternal world, that is where God is. And anything that we send, that we can send on ahead of us, then those are the eternal things. Jesus uttered phrases on earth that prove heaven to be an actual place or a sphere and not just a state of being or just an idea, or as we say, a pie in the sky idea. When Jesus spoke about heaven and teaching his disciples how to pray, he told them, pray in this manner, our Father, which art in heaven. And so if there's no heaven, then we don't have a Father to pray to, because our Father is in heaven. He went on to that same prayer to say, if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. You know, heaven is a place that we all, again, should want to go. It's a place that we don't know as much as we'd like to know about it. But the Bible does give us some scripture, some word pictures that gives us some idea about the kind of place heaven is going to be. In Revelation 22, in verse 1, we have a beautiful picture of heaven when all is said and done and this life and this world has ended. In Revelation 22:1, John wrote, and he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystals, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month, and leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servant shall serve him. And so again, heaven is going to be a place of activity. When we read these scriptures, we can see things happening. We can see dynamics, multidimensional things going on. And one of the most important things is that he said in heaven, his servants are going to serve him. There's going to be things to do when we get to heaven. We're not going to sit around doing nothing for eternity. For a fact, we're going to be glad and very happy and joyous that we can serve him. So if you don't like serving God in this world, heaven is going to be a very awkward place and a very inconvenient place for you. And he went on to say in Revelation 22:4, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads, and there shall be no night there. And they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. I don't know about you, but I want to go to heaven. I want to see that place. Jesus spoke about the angels. Angels are in heaven. In Matthew 13, or Mark rather, 13:32. But of that day, and that hour, knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. You see, there's a direct connection between heaven and the church that Jesus built. According to Matthew 16:18, when Jesus made that proclamation that he was going to build his church, and in verse 19, he said unto the apostles, and Peter being one of the chief apostles at that time, the dominant one, and I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. The church is a kingdom that was given on this earth as a vehicle by which we can make sure that we're going to have eternal life. And when Peter and the apostles opened the doors to the church, they were also opening the doors to the kingdom of heaven on the day of Pentecost and in Acts chapter 10 for the Gentiles. So heaven is not here. There are a lot of people who try to make this world heaven. They look for the perfect home, the perfect environment, thinking that some kind of way they're going to make life as good as heaven is going to be. But there's nothing in this world that we can do that will compare to what heaven is going to be like. Heaven is spoken of in three ways in the Bible when we see the word heaven. Sometimes heaven refers to the atmosphere where the birds fly, where we live, the air, where the clouds are, and the rain. An example of this is found in the book of James 5:17, when the Bible said Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain upon the earth. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And the Bible said in James 5:18, and he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain. That's where we live, the atmosphere in which we exist. Then heaven is spoken of as the firmaments, the planets. Psalm 19 and verse 1, the psalmist said, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. And then there's a third way in which the heaven is spoken of, and we call it the third heaven, where Paul in 2 Corinthians 12, 1 and 2 said he was caught up into the third heaven. Stephen, when he was killed, Stephen looked up into heaven, and he saw Jesus standing on the right hand of God. And so heaven, where God, the third heaven, is the heaven that we want to go to tonight. So the term heaven occurs well over 100 times in the New Testament. And in the majority of references, the word came from Jesus. And from the language and the way Jesus talked about heaven, we can define heaven as the eternal dwelling place of the Father from which he had descended and from which the Holy Spirit was received and which is also the everlasting abode of the redeemed. Simply put, heaven is where we want to go and heaven is where God is. And in Acts 7:49, heaven is my throne. And the earth is my footstool. What house will ye build me, saith the Lord? Or what is the place of my rest? And so heaven, again, is where God is. And the thing that makes heaven so great is who's going to be there. God is going to be there, and Jesus is going to be there. So if one wants to go to heaven, he has to believe that there is a heaven, and heaven is a real place. And now let's talk about the qualifications. Let's talk about who is going to heaven. Well, one thing for sure is that God wants everyone to go to heaven. In the book of 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1, Paul wrote, I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. And here's the point. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. So God wants all to be saved. Everyone can be saved if we comply with the standards that are written in the Bible. It's already been settled in the Bible. And so this was Jesus' prayer to his disciples, that we would all one day be with him if we follow his word and lead the example that he wants us to lead in this life, John 17 and verse 24. And so Jesus gave us all a standing invitation. He said unto me, said in brother Matthew 11:28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The qualifications for heaven are very clear. Jesus told Nicodemus that in order for one to see the kingdom of heaven, he had to be born again. And he went on in verse 5 of John chapter 3 and explained that one has to be born of the water and of the spirit in order to enter into the kingdom of heaven. He's speaking of water baptism, and he's speaking about spirit, the teaching of the word of God. So we have to be taught correctly, and when we go down into the water gates of baptism, that is when the spiritual birth takes place, and the new man begins to live inside of us, and then we arise to walk in newness of life. If one wants to go to heaven, he's going to have to go through Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the only way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There are no other saviors but Jesus. So who can go to heaven? Those who are in Jesus, those who go in through the door of Christ. So Jesus told us all that we need to know about heaven and how to get there. It may not be all that we would want to know, but it's all that we need to know. Jesus said in John 20, 30 and 31, where John said, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you might have life through his name. You know, we have to understand also that heaven is a prepared place for prepared people. No one is going to accidentally go to heaven any more than anyone can accidentally catch a plane and take a trip. There has to be preparation if we're going to go to heaven. And he has given us the Bible so that we can read it and prepare to go to heaven. You know, we hear a lot of social leaders, we hear politicians often encourage us and other people to make decisions and take stands based on what they say the right side of history. And they'll say that, well, you don't want to be on the wrong side of history. And basically, they're encouraging us to make a decision. Now, sometimes it's correct and sometimes it's not. But, you know, the thing that is sad is that many are making decisions in this life that's going to put them on the wrong side of eternity. That is what Jesus was talking about in Matthew 7:22, when he said, many shall come to me in that day and say, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Then will I profess unto them, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, I never knew you. In other words, they ended up on the wrong side of eternity. And if we don't study the word of God and stick with the word of God, we very well will end up, when this life is over, on the wrong side of eternity. You know, Jesus gave the church as an organization on earth to get us to heaven. It is the only organization on earth that will get us to heaven. In fact, the church is the greatest organization in the history of the world. Again, the church is also the greatest creation that God has ever made. You know, there are a lot of great organizations in this world. We have Walmart. I'm sure you've heard about Walmart, and they have the slogan that they're going to save you money and save you every day. But Walmart cannot save our souls. I live in Memphis, Tennessee, and we have a great organization called Federal Express. And they have a slogan that they can get a package anywhere in the world overnight, but they can't get you to heaven. A great organization, but it can't get you to heaven. And then there's another organization that ships packages all over the world, and they ask the question, what can Brown do for you? Well, when it comes to eternity, there's nothing Brown can do for us. The only one that can help us in eternity is going to be Jesus Christ. Again, a passage that shows us that the church is the great creation of God, the greatest of all. It's found in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 9. And for the sake of time, I'm going to drop down to verse 26, where Paul said, to the intent that now unto principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Might be known by the church. What he's saying is what the church was the revelation of God's wisdom. Only God could have thought of an organization in which all men could be put on a level plane, where all men could have one rule to walk by, where all men could wear one name, and where there would be no divisions among us, where he tore down the middle wall of partition that was between the Jew and the Gentile. The world was amazed to find out God's plan. Only God could have thought up an organization as the church that would be everlasting spiritually, that cannot be destroyed. The church, when we speak of the church, we're speaking of the body of Christ. Ephesians 1:22, the Bible says, has put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. And we go a little farther in the book of Ephesians, and the Ephesians writer tells us there's only one body, which is the church. And then Christ lets us know that he's going to come back, and he's going to be the savior of that one body, Ephesians 5 and verse 23. And so if we want to go to heaven, we're going to have to get into place. We're going to have to be in the organization that Christ is going to come back to get, and we can all go to heaven. And there's only one way to get in the church, and that is through obedience to the gospel. Galatians 3:26-28, the Bible reads, Paul said, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ. And we have to understand who goes to heaven. We have to understand that not one sin is going to get by God on the day of judgment. Not one sin is going to enter into heaven. Ephesians 5:27 tells us that Christ is going to present the church unto him, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Consider what Paul said as we come closer to closing. And Ephesians 5 and verse 5, he said, for this know that no whoremonger, no unclean person, no covetous man who is an idolater has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, but because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Yes, God will forgive any sin that we repent of, if we truly repent of it and cease to do that particular sin. But not one sin is going to get into heaven. We have to live a holy life. And that's why the Hebrew writer said, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Who can go to heaven? Only those who obey the gospel. 2 Thessalonians 1:7. Paul wrote to the Thessalonians, and to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. So you have two sets of people, those that don't know. Ignorance will not be an excuse on the day of judgment. That's why it behooves all of us who know the truth to do everything that we can to share the truth to everyone that we can while we're on this earth. And there are people that hear the truth, hear the gospel preached, and they refuse to obey the gospel. Those people, notice what he says, shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. So in conclusion, I want to go to heaven, don't you? Someone may be asking right now, well, what do I have to do to go to heaven? Well, first of all, we have to be taught, John 6:44-45. We've tried to do some teaching tonight. We have to believe the gospel, 1 Corinthians 15:1-4, the good news, how that Jesus died, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Then after we believe Christ, the gospel, we have to be willing to repent of our sins. Just change. We've been going in the wrong direction all of our life. Our minds have been thinking incorrectly about eternal life. Just change our mind and change our actions. And now God will forgive us. Acts 17:30-31, the time of this ignorance, God went there, but now command all men everywhere to repent. Then we have to confess the name of Christ. Don't be ashamed to tell the world, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, Matthew 10:32. The greatest confession ever made. That confession brought death to Jesus Christ, but it will bring life to you tonight. And then we have to be, one has to be baptized in the watery grace of baptism. Mark 16:15-16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. And then after baptism, one has to live faithfully unto death. Revelation 2:10. So, my friends, it doesn't matter how many times the question is asked who goes to heaven, the answer is going to be the same. It doesn't matter how long one waits in order to ask the question, the answer is going to be the same throughout all generations, world without end. We have to obey the gospel. It's already settled in heaven. And so to sum up what we tried to say tonight, it's good to have takeaways from our lesson. We've tried to discuss with you, number one, we have been given this life. It's a blessing that God allowed us to live, and he has given us an opportunity to live forever, to live with him in heaven. We choose how to live. We can live for God, or we can live for the devil. There is no middle ground. It's either one or the other. We are going to die. The death rate is 1-to-1. Hebrews 9:27. Death is a divine appointment. No one has gotten out of this world without dying except for Enoch and Elijah. We are going to spend eternity somewhere. It's either going to be in heaven or in hell. We make the decision by how we live our life. But the Bible has given us the answer on what to do to go to heaven. The choice is ours. It's already been settled in heaven. Thank you. And we'll now turn our program back over to Brother Brooks.
Thank you very much, Brother. Brother, we appreciate you so very much for the message tonight. We're so thankful for each and every person that's on the call. Our call is very important to us that we get the message out. We want everyone to know who's going to go to heaven. All of us on this call tonight, listening tonight, don't want to go to heaven. So thank you, sir. A great message from the Word of God. Brother Williams, if you're on the call tonight, not a member of the Church of Christ, you're an honored guest. If you want to be baptized, we help you do that. Get back with the person who invited you to our call tonight. Tell them you want to obey the gospel so you can go to heaven. Or if you have a question for Brother Williams or for myself, just go ahead and email us at nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. That's nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. And we make sure we get all your questions answered for you. If you want to go back and listen to the message, go to our website, hollandheightscoc.net. That's hollandheightscoc.net. There, you find all our recorded messages since the month of May. We've been doing this Nationwide Gospel meeting. And you hear all the different topics, whether it be the One Church, the Church of Christ, taking the Lord's Supper on Sunday, why we don't use instrumental music, why there's only one church, all those different topics on the women preachers and sinner's prayer. Same-sex marriage, abortion, all those kind of things. Go back to our website, hollandheightscoc.net. That's hollandheightscoc.net. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, thank you for your blessing. Thank you for Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Thank you for loving us and sending him to die on that cross, shed the blood and wash our sins away in baptism. The same blood purchases the Church of Christ. Thank you for our listening audience, those visitors who are not members of the Church of Christ. Help them to know that we speak the truth in love, Father. We just want to be saved. We want to do what thus said the Lord according to the Scripture. Thank you for Brother Williams. Pray for him and his ministry and his congregation. Lord, bless his life. Thank you for him. Bless him to be with us tonight. We pray now, Lord, that all of us will understand we must receive your word with meekness. For save us, save our souls. Thank you for all you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, another great start to this week. A great start to this week. We invite you tomorrow night. Brother Jack Honeycutt, Macon County, Tennessee, about who go to heaven. And then winning that, my friend, Brother Larry Bishop, about the Wood Church in Fort Smith, Arkansas. Then Brother Joe Caesar. Brother Joe Caesar coming from Lufkin, Texas, about the blood of Christ. And then closing us out this week. Yeah, on that day called Christmas, the mankind called Christmas. But y'all know we don't celebrate Christmas in the Church of the Christ. It's just a day man has made up. And just use common sense. God would never represent his son's birth with a fat man wearing a red suit coming down the chimney. Just think about it. It's not in the Bible. That wasn't his birthday. But Friday night is not going to be about Christmas. He's going to talk about Christ the Savior. Christ the Savior. Join us tomorrow night. We love you all. May God bless you. Have a nice rest.